And welcome to Fair Trade, a Project Zion podcast series where courageous people share the candid stories of their faith journey and what brought them to Community of Christ. For this episode, we are exploring Fair Trade Chapter 2, which means we are checking in with a previous Fair Trade guest to hear what's been happening in Chapter 2 of their journey with Community of Christ. I'm your host, Robin Linkhart, and today I'm here with Michelle Phillips. Welcome, Michelle, and thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So I'd like us to take a minute to get to know you. So just introduce yourself to our listeners like you're meeting somebody for the first time.
Sure. So I live in Ogden, Utah, which is about an hour north of Salt Lake City. Cute little town up by the near the mountains. I live with my two teenage sons, so they're 16 and almost 14, and I have a cat, Lady Jane, who also demands a lot of our attention. Currently, I have two jobs. I work full time for Fiscal Services for World Church, where I manage the help desk, which And that supports congregational and mission center financial officers, as well as individuals if they have questions about things like e-tithing, recording donations. Most of my time there is spent helping connect people to the other right people who can help them with their issues. I also work part-time for the Inland West Mission Center as the administrative and communications coordinator. So I manage our social media, website, newsletters, and I also help with event planning for things like reunion. And right now we're getting ready for Mission Center Conference. When I'm not working or playing chauffeur to my children, my 16-year-old is hopefully getting his driver's license soon, but we still spend a lot of time shuffling kids to and from. But we also like to hike. There's lots of beautiful trails here in Ogden. I've been getting back to running lately, which is an adventure in your 40s. And then we do a lot of baking and just hanging out as a family, watching TV together.
That sounds like great fun. And wow, what a wonderful opportunity to work with Community of Christ International Headquarters and do that remotely and also work for the local mission center and all the stuff that you do in Utah with ministry. That's awesome. So before we launch out on Chapter 2, for a lot of folks who may not have already heard about Chapter 1, or just like a reminder, why don't you just give us like a high level overview of Chapter 1 that you might share with somebody asking, how did you come to be with Community of Christ?
So my first introduction to Community of Christ was actually 20 years ago. I was an LDS missionary in Independence, Missouri at the Visitor Center, right across the street from the temple. And that was a very interesting experience, but it took about 10 years after that for me to start really looking into Community of Christ and attending the Salt Lake City congregation. And I attended there until we moved to Ogden. I attended the Ogden congregation until COVID started. And then during COVID, I attended Salt Lake City Online and other online groups. I knew fairly early on that Community of Christ was going to be the place where I was going to find my spiritual home, and felt like it was my spiritual home. But due to some personal things in my life, I wasn't able to formalize that until January 2022. That's when I got baptized and confirmed. Before I was baptized, I got to do things like teach Sunday school and participate in worship. And then after my baptism, I was in the pastor leadership team in Salt Lake City until I moved to or started attending again in Ogden.
That's great. Thanks for catching us up so that we can begin to explore chapter too. So we know that life transitions of any kind can be very challenging. And certainly transitioning from one faith to another, while it can be filled with joy and be liberating for many people, it's also incredibly complex and multi-dimensional. I mean, seriously, faith is a lifelong journey, regardless of where you find your spiritual home, and making a major shift along the way is part of every chapter of life from then on. So tell us your chapter two story of living out your faith in community of Christ this last little while.
So I think one of the most important parts of that story is being able to work for the Mission Center. So I've been working for our Mission Center for about 2 years now, and it has been such a fun and rewarding experience to be able to visit other Community of Christ congregations besides my two home congregations, and to be able to be mentored by folks who've had years of ministry experience in Community of Christ. I have really enjoyed participating in other big events, going to World Conference twice now, and going to things like the Redwoods Peace Colloquy, and just being able to really immerse myself in Community of Christ and come to feel like this is my home and my community, rather than being the outsider who's like, I want to be part of the group. And now I've been able to transition to being in and looking at the world through that Community of Christ lens. First, this last Sunday in church, the preacher in her sermon shared the scripture about no longer being foreigners, but being fellow citizens, and about how those divisions between people come down in true Christ-centered community. And I feel like in my chapter two, I've really started to experience that in lots of really meaningful ways, but there may be smaller ways. Like, it's not the big thing, like a baptism is big. There were a few big things. I was able to be ordained an elder last fall, which was a really special experience. But I think, in addition to that, there have been lots of little moments along the way and relationships that are just as important part of that chapter two story for me.
So, as you stand now at this point in your life and you look back, what do you wish you had known about chapter two when you were living the pages of chapter one?
I think one of the biggest things I wished I had known was to be able to trust myself more. In the beginning part of coming to Community of Christ, there was a lot of time and worry that I spent. Oh, was I doing it the right way? Was I doing this faith journey correctly? And I looked to mentors and others who are going through the journey, which is an important part of it, but sometimes I think I relied too much on those outside opinions of what my faith journey should look like or what I should be experiencing and feeling. And maybe that is just part of the journey, learning to trust yourself and to trust that I have a connection to the divine that's important and valid and needs to be honored and developed. The other really big thing is to just be open to surprise. I'm a planner. I like to know what's going to happen. And this journey just will hit you upside the head. If you think that you know how it's going to turn out and what is going to happen, there have been people that have come into my life that I would never have expected. There have been people who I thought would be close who haven't been. Because their journey is just taking them in a little different direction. There have been opportunities that have come up that I would have never guessed, and ones that I had hoped would happen that didn't. And it's been surprising in really beautiful ways. And I wish I could tell myself
back when I was first coming to Community of Christ, that it will all work out and you can trust yourself and it will be more beautiful than you could have ever imagined.
I love that. As a fellow planner, that's the that is it's a really big thing, to trust yourself and know it will all work out, and may not look anything like what you had planned, but often is way better, right? Yeah. So, Michelle, you kind of mentioned this part of your story took place during the pandemic, which was an unplanned thing, of course. So how do you think living out faith in the midst of a global pandemic impacted your journey, and specifically, how might it have impacted chapter two as you look back now?
There are a few ways. Who knows how it would have turned out without COVID? But I probably would have kept going to our Ogden congregation. So during the pandemic, we didn't have the capacity in my home congregation to do online ministry, and so we all attended on Salt Lake online ministry during COVID, and that certainly impacted how I interacted with Community of Christ and my own faith. But also, it just in a lot of ways it gave me time to breathe and pause, and I tend to jump into things, and COVID kind of put the brakes on everything for everyone, I think, in a lot of ways. And it gave me space to really get to know myself and Community of Christ. It also was a time of a lot of transition personally. So during the pandemic, my ex-husband and I decided to split, and that's when our divorce happened as well. And so there was a lot going on for me during that time, a lot of transition. And having the space to take care of those things personally in my faith and in my family life was really important.
So you mentioned you started out in Salt Lake and then attending Ogden, and then it sounds like there was a returning to activity in Salt Lake towards the end of the pandemic. Of course, during the pandemic, Ogden, like many congregations and Community of Christ, we kind of joined up with other congregations that were able to support hybrid or online only worship. Tell us about that period where you were kind of both and or tweener or this, that, and the other.
Yeah, one of my dear friends in the Ogden congregation called me a dual citizen for a while because I was doing both. So, towards the end of the pandemic, I was at a place where I could make the choice to be baptized. And so the ministerial support for that was in Salt Lake through the Latter-day Seeker program. And so I started getting more and more involved in what was happening in Salt Lake. So, driving down for church and other activities, I took the Continuing Your Discipleship and the Of Water and Spirit classes there towards the end of 2021. And so that was the tail end of the pandemic. We were returning to in-person things, and so being able to be with people was in a church setting was really, really nice. And it was actually it even impacted. So my baptism was scheduled for January 2022, and the person I had asked to perform the sacrament actually got COVID that week, and so
Oh.
wasn't able to do it. And if you see the pictures of my baptism, people we're still wearing masks, still social distancing in the church. But having that support of the Latter-day Seeker program in Salt Lake was one of the things that brought me there because I felt like I ne really needed that at the time.
So when you served on the pastorate after your baptism, was that in Salt Lake or Ogden or both?
In Salt Lake.
Okay. All right. So You've kind of touched on this too, and by virtue of where you live, you're also connect with Latter-day Seekers all across Utah and other parts of the Inland West Mission Center, many of whom, like you, have transitioned into Community of Christ. So what are some of the topics of discussion among those who are living chapter two of their story, or maybe even chapter three or four? I mean, what are some of the topics of discussion that come in after that initial decision or recognition that this is where my spiritual home is, and I am going to continue in fellowship? Often people join at that juncture and live into that. It's not like a, the journey's done at that point. So what topics of discussion come up in those later chapters?
Oh, there's a lot. I think one of the biggest things that we talk about is how we can be involved in the church in a way that continues to move the church forward. We, as a group, are very excited to be in a church where our ideas are at least heard and considered, and where there's movement, where there's space for the spirit to breathe. And so finding the place that works for each individual to use our gifts is a really big topic. And it's different for everyone. And sometimes that is really hard to find the right place and to find where you fit in without someone telling you. This is where you fit in. There's this culture and community of Christ about, you come and you bring your gifts and you tell us how, you have a part, you have a say in how you're integrated into this community. And that can be a struggle, also really beautiful things. So we talk about that quite a bit with each other. There's a lot of discussion about how processes and structures, like how does priesthood work? Like, even still today, I've been journeying with Community of Christ for almost a decade, and I'm still in communication with people about, like, okay, now wait, this one thing about the priesthood, I don't understand how this quite works. That's a big topic of conversation. We talk a lot about, okay, how do we support both the next generation of Latter-day Seekers that are coming in, because their issues are actually different. The reasons that they are leaving their former faith and coming into this faith have some similarities, but they're also different. There's a generational difference there. And so, talking about how do we best support and integrate, what were the best things about how we came into Community of Christ, and what were the hard things, and how can we make that better? And kind of related to that is a lot of us have kids. Not all of us, but a lot of us have kids that are growing up. How do we parent in a new way with Community of Christ principles? And I was telling my therapist the other day, I do not have the same carrots and sticks that my parents had of a high demand religion to manage my children. So we talk a lot about how do we instill things like the enduring principles in our children and in these younger generations, seekers that are coming into Community of Christ, while also allowing them the space to make mistakes in ways that we weren't allowed to. And then that brings up a lot of feelings for me about how I wish things had been different for me, maybe, and being able to incorporate that in a way that doesn't sit in grief forever. Takes that grief and hurt and pain and does something useful with it. And then we get to talk about really exciting things like, what are we doing to reimagine church? That's where I spend a lot of my time right now, especially in the mission center that I'm in. We have some congregations, and I'm sure this is the same in a lot of mission centers, some congregations that are looking at, what does it look like to be a congregation without a building? What does it look like to be a congregation that doesn't have a younger generation coming up? What does it look like to serve in different ways in our community? And so these ways of reimagining how to the community of Christ in the world? Like, how do we improve our digital communications? How do we do all these things? This was really exciting.
That does sound really exciting, and I know that is that reimagining church journey is something that many people in Community of Christ are really trying to faithfully engage in. So, as you look back, and I love hearing your reflections and the realization that this generation, and it's not really a full generation, younger than seekers that began coming, say, 10, 15 years ago, or even more recently. The recognition, though, that it's different and the context for seekers is different, and their reasons and how they go about it is different. So, at this juncture, what sage advice would you have for lifelong Community of Christ members who are also walking with seekers and other spiritual refugees, understanding they may not have a lot of knowledge about the LDS Church and or other journeys for spiritual refugees who come from other places?
Thought a lot about this recently, especially as I've been in conversation with some church leaders who are starting to engage more in seeker ministry. And there are a few things that I've been telling people. I don't know if it counts as sage advice, but this is what I've been telling people. So, one thing is we would really love for leaders to talk to those of us who have been in Community of Christ for a while, the older seekers, because there are some things that might be surprising to you about what's easy and what's hard for Latter-day seekers. For example, I was talking with someone recently and telling them about how tricky priesthood is for Latter-day seekers, and they were very surprised that that would be tricky. And so I was explaining to them, this is what they are used to priesthood being, and this is how it's different than in the Community of Christ. And here are some of the pitfalls to talking about priesthood, but especially if you're extending priesthood calls to Latter-day seekers, here are some of the things you want to be aware of. So just come and talk to us, those of us who have been around for a while. And then the other thing is, know that it's not a linear process and it's not a process that's ever done. It's never completed. Just like anyone's faith journey is never completed. We are all, whether you're a Latter-day Seeker or a lifelong Community of Christ member, we're all on a journey that changes and is surprising again to all of us, that it takes time. And one of the most important things you can do for a Latter-day Seeker is to give them, not necessarily give them answers, but to give them the tools to learn to trust themselves and to learn how to have a better or different relationship with the divine. And to, as they're learning to trust themselves, also learn to trust them. They're going to make mistakes. And I'm doing that in air quotes. There's going to be rough patches, and that doesn't mean that it's that the journey is wrong or that they're doing it the wrong way or that you're doing it the wrong way necessarily. It's just hard, but it's worth it. And also the last piece of advice or things that I say to people are listen to their ideas, because when new people and new ideas are coming into the church, sometimes it can be hard to hear and figure out, okay, how are we going to integrate this idea? Just listening, maybe you can come up with new ideas together.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I appreciate your willingness to be very honest and detailed about what things might be helpful and should be considered as we go forward. What are your hopes for our Community of Christ, Michelle?
We've been talking a lot about hope this year. And as I've been preparing for Mission Center Conference, We have been thinking about how are we going to take this theme of hope and what do we do with it for the next year? And I hope we turn this excitement of this year with the energy that came from World Conference and our other activities this year. I hope we take it into action next year as we go forward. And that we don't allow ourselves to get stuck in discouragement. Sometimes I hear people get discouraged about church attendance or the age of average church member, or just in general, people are leaving organized religion or the state of how things are going in the United States, and it's just really heavy. I hope that we don't allow ourselves to get bogged down in these difficult realities and that we can move forward and onward and keep going because we have a beautiful, exciting legacy and really great tools for doing good in the world. And I hope we continue to focus on mission and finding new ways to express that mission in the world.
So I just want to go a little bit deeper on the word mission. As you look at mission, what does mission look like to you? Or and I realize this is a multifaceted, many-layered, and multi-dimensional kind of thing, but just some of the things for you as you look at Community of Christ living out mission, what shapes and forms does that take?
So, for example, as I'm looking at my congregation and what can we do as a very small congregation, our Ogden folks, we had, 10 people last Sunday, and our ages and our stages in life can make it difficult to do a lot. But what can we do? I think that worship is something that is very near and dear to my heart, and I love worship planning and I love being at church on Sunday, but it can't stop after church service is over. So what does that worship equip us to do for the week and for our communities in the world? And so for us, that means looking for community organizations to partner with to do things. It could mean having different programs in your congregation, or it could mean finding other people to work with to do things. When I think of the word mission, it's a very action-oriented word for me. And so if you go back to the scripture in Luke, where we take our mission from, when we say Christ's mission is our mission, to be in the world wherever we are, expressing that hope to the captive, sight to the blind. The blessing that comes from being in community is a blessing that is not restricted to a congregation, but can be lived out by each individual member in whatever area they are, that we are continually pushing for more healing, more reconciliation, more acceptance, and more growth for all of God's children. And it can take so many different forms and ways, but we have to actively choose to do it all the time.
Thank you so much for that, Michelle. Lots of hope in action images. I'm getting as I listen to you speak. What's next for you on your journey of faith?
So this fall, I'm looking forward to a time of transition in my church employment and my ministry. I have accepted a job as our Inland West Mission Center financial officer and president. So that will be a journey that I am sure will come with a lot of surprises, as we've been talking about. I am really looking forward to working with the people of our mission center and helping them explore some of these ideas that we've been talking about. We have a lot of potential and a lot of beautiful things that are going on already in our mission center. And so stepping into this a little bit of a different role and being a part of that is really exciting, a little intimidating and overwhelming at times, but mostly I'm really looking forward to being able to dedicate more of my time to the things that I think about all the time and wonder about and I'm excited about. And then I've really been feeling the need to spend more time on my personal spiritual formation. And so that is maybe not something that is going to be as obvious to other people on this next step, but spending more time, I'm a doer. And so I've got my checklist, I've got all the things that I want to do and the programs that I want to facilitate and the retreats that I want to go to and the connections I want to make. And I've really been feeling the call to spend more time with myself, with the scriptures, in prayer, those kinds of things, taking the time to listen and just be with God. And so I'm working on ways to better incorporate that into my life. So those are the two big things that are that I see are next, and probably there will be other things that come up. But
Yeah, those are both big things, and I'm so encouraged to hear you speak to that need for ongoing spiritual practices, investment in that part of your life, because it certainly does pair and it's needful in discipleship and ministry both. And wow, I'm really excited about your new chapter coming up with the church and stepping into leadership. And Inland West Mission Center, for those who don't know, is a big piece of geography in the USA. So, yeah, that'll be great. Well, Michelle, is there anything I have not asked you about today that you would like to share with our listeners?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you again for being with us today, Michelle. It really, truly has been a joy and such a privilege to spend time with you and to hear about your continuing story with Community of Christ, your ongoing journey of faith.
Thank you so much for having me.
And as always, a very special thanks to all of you, our listeners, for spending a portion of your day with us. If you would like to hear more from courageous people willing to share the candid stories of their faith journey and what brought them to Community of Christ, check out our Fair Trade series on ProjectZionPodcast.org, or you can click on the link listed in today's show notes, which will take you to all of our Fair Trade episodes. This is your host, Robin Linkhart, and you are listening to Project Zion Podcast. Go out and make the world a better place. Take good care. Bye-bye.